August 29th, 2005, item number 81. Today's guest is P.W. Fenton from the Digital Flotsam Podcast.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into the interview with P.W. Fenton, we're going to go ahead and play a tech tip from Walter from the Canine Cast. This is a longer tech tip, so no news and notes. And then right after that, we'll get into the interview with P.W. Here we go.
Hello, this is Walter from Canine Cast at caninecast.com with a Podcast 411 tech tip. Did you know that you can add images, links, and chapters to your podcast for iTunes and iPod listeners? In June of 2005, Apple released iTunes 4.9, and they also released a new technology for podcasters called Enhanced Podcasting. This technology is basically an upgraded version of Apple's chaptering system for audiobooks. Apple extended the chaptering system to allow images and hyperlinks to be displayed during each chapter. This technology was probably developed specifically for their Podfinder podcast, so that listeners could subscribe to new podcasts right as they were being played on the Podfinder. But this technology extends beyond chapters, and beyond linking to other podcasts from within a podcast, because more than one image and hyperlink can be displayed during a chapter. This means that for the first time, you can truly illustrate your podcast with images that iTunes and Color iPod listeners can see. And every iPod user can use the chapter portion of the technology, allowing you to give the power to listeners to not only time shift your podcast, but skip directly to whatever part they're most interested in. Finally, iTunes listeners can view and click the hyperlinks you place in your podcast. Thanks to enhanced podcasting, all new types of podcasts are possible. Illustrated sound seeing tours, true podcast e-commerce or p-commerce, where podcasters can place affiliate links to products or music being played on the show that link directly to the products or music to be purchased. You can now create Choose Your Own Adventure audiobooks, where the listener can click a hyperlink or select a chapter to determine the next action in the story. Music podcasts can now display lyrics during the music. You can even create podcasts that have flashcards for learning and education purposes. The possibilities are endless. Imagine what enhanced podcasting can do for your podcast. And how can you do it? Well, here's the basics. First, you'll need access to a Macintosh running OS X. Then, you'll need to download Apple's Enhanced Podcast Chapter Tool Utility. Next, use iTunes to convert your podcast to AAC format. Finally, you can either download and use a Chapter Tool front-end program, or you can manually create a Chapter Tool XML file and merge that file with your podcast using the Apple Chapter Tool utility. More specific instructions on how to create an enhanced podcast are posted at the Podcast 411 forums. And Rob, it's back to you.
Walter, thank you so much for that tech tip. And as Walter mentioned in the tech tip, there is a forum post he put up in the help question section under enhanced podcasting information. I will have a link to that specific forum post in the show notes as always. The show notes can be found at podcast411.com. If you out there have a tech tip you'd like to share with the audience, please send those tech tips or links to those tech tips to podcast411@gmail.com. Thank you. Today's guest is P.W. Fenton from the Digital Flotsam Podcast. In addition to being the host of this podcast, PW is also the producer of Pod Show on Sirius Satellite for Adam Curry. So when you're sending in any promos or shows to submit at Pod Show, PW is the one on the other end of the line getting those shows to review. And I thought many of you would like to know that the person that is reviewing these things is a podcaster and get a little insight to what he's thinking and what his show is about. A quick summary on his show, and I say this in the podcast, I look at it kind of like the Wonder Years for podcasting. PW takes you back in his life, gives you stories about what's happened to him, and he articulates them very, very well and in a very professional manner from the editing point of view. But rather than try to explain too much, why don't we just go ahead and get into the interview with PW? Here we go. Well, PW, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And traditional first question, what was your first computer?
Oh, I thought I was going to be ready for that, but my very first computer was a Commodore VIC-20. which I spent a fortune on. You know, those were so damn expensive when it started, although they were a hair less expensive than an Apple, which is what we all really wanted.
Yeah,
but, you know, you went for the one that was slightly cheap. You were only $500 instead of $700, you know.
And, yeah, it was so expensive for stuff. I mean, 32K of memory cost $300. That's K.
Yes, oh, I know. Oh, you had 32K?
Well, I had 48 because I got the 32K
add-on. Oh, my garage. Oh, I was excited that I had 16 at one point.
Yeah, it came with 16. To get the 32K, I had to wait a year. That was the next Christmas present.
You know what the best thing about them was? The fact that there was so little software. It kind of forced you to become a geek.
Yeah.
It forced you to write programs. It forced you to do all kinds of things that really put you so far ahead of the curve when everything began to get easy.
What was the first podcast you listened to?
Ooh, the first podcast I listened to, I'll bet, was Adam Curry's. I really think that's the experience for a lot of people. When I first decided to finally look into what this podcast buzz was, I had heard the word several times, and it sounded intriguing, but it was one of those things, well, I don't have time to look into that now. I don't know what that is, but I will. And then when that finally came about, and that's a whole nother story, probably the very first thing I discovered was Adam Curry's association with it, and having been somebody, you know, who was right in on the beginning of MTV, and I recognized the name, so it was kind of logical that the first thing you do is look into that podcast to find out, well, what's this all about, you know?
Do you have time to listen to many podcasts?
No. And it's really not anyone's fault but Adam's.
So he's keeping you away from all those great shows that are out there.
It's funny, my responsibility, helping put his Sirius show together, is to gather lots of podcasts and lots of promos and whatnot. But almost the only chance I get to listen to anything is when I'm putting those shows together. Other than that, I just look at titles and go, oh, I got to check that out sometime. But that sometime never comes, you know.
Before the Sirius, were there a few shows that you were listening to on a regular basis?
No, actually, no. My interest almost instantly became more selfish than that. What happened, really, when I discovered podcasting was I realized that all of these various attempts I had made in the past to produce programs for public radio, which is where I felt I fit, they were now suddenly repurposable, if that's a word.
Okay.
It was like I realized, oh, wait a second, I've already failed at radio. I could fail at podcasting.
With your stories, do you write out these stories ahead of time? How much of it is turn the mic on and start talking, and how much of it is well thought out, well planned, well written?
Absolutely none of it is turn the mic on and start talking. That's not me. That's Adam. With me, it's all well planned, well structured beforehand. I have the experience of coming up to the weekend, which is when I usually put Digital Flotsam together, and having absolutely no idea what the program's going to be about. I just start, and in a few hours, I have the program structured. And I don't know where it came from. You know, I don't know what inspired it. It just happens. But it never happens live on mic.
I love the way you structure your show. That you have where you're giving part of the story, then you break for the music, then you come back and tell more. When you do those break for the music, I found myself flashing back to my childhood. I mean, it was, for those that don't know your show, I would almost call it the Wonder Years for podcasting. You tell these great stories, not all from your childhood, but many from your childhood. And the one that really caught me was the one about fire. And I'm sure it caught most males.
Yeah.
And it brought me back to my story of childhood. We were doing one of those all children building the fires. And one day we decided, or I decided, my parents were out, that let's build a fire on the driveway.
Sure.
And we're building the fire on the driveway, and we're jumping over the fire, and we're having fun. And then I remember very distinctly Michael DePalma going, you know, this is probably going to leave a mark on the driveway. And that was where my mind hadn't looked at the next step of the consequences.
Exactly. You never look at the second step.
We had planned for the fire spreading. We had the hose there to put the fire out in case. So we had thought about that. But we didn't think about the fact that burning on your driveway, a white driveway, would leave a black mark.
Oh, yeah.
Needless to say, the rest of the story involved Rob not being out of his room for quite some time.
Yeah, see, now this is a story you need to tell, and then I can put it on Digital Flats. That's a great story. And it is classic. You know, everybody has those kinds of experiences where, like I said in that episode, you're just brain dead.
I want to go back to about one of the things you said, which I thought was great advice, which was in your show 13, you said good decisions are more important in doing a podcast than good equipment. And back to the content is king comment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's so funny how people get enamored with the idea of podcasting. They want to do it, and they think about almost all of the wrong thing. They think about what kind of microphone I have to have, what kind of mixer I have to have, what kind of software I need, how do I do this, how can I sound good, is there something I can do to make my voice sound better, what kind of theme song should I have, oh, I need a cute logo. All of those things just get to be the center of their attention, and they ignore the fact that they've got to have some sort of content that makes people listen.
I call it putting a bow on a pig.
Exactly.
Some people put the prettiest dresses I've ever seen on a pig. And forget,
oh, yeah.
You know, you're still dressing up a pig. You got to get some better meat in that content. People forget the art of podcasting and just think about the technique of it.
I also feel like many podcasters actually get a false impression of what they're doing. I know this especially because of doing Adam's show on Sirius. I go through hundreds and hundreds of promos every day, and I listen to way too many podcasts. I'm often amazed, and I think to myself, did these people listen to this? Did they actually think that a promo that sounds like this could be listened to? You know? We get promos like that, where the entire, that for a whole minute, there's someone speaking completely distorted. And I think they sent that in, and they really want Adam to play it. How is that possible? Haven't they listened to anything else beside what they just did? You know, my feeling is that you're so excited about what you do, you don't even hear it for what it is. That's not actually a bad thing. You know, being excited about what you're doing is a good thing. That's what makes a lot of great creativity. You really have to learn to step back and listen objectively.
I've had to tell many people recently that sent me in promos that you need to get your music, your background music of the promo, a good 12 to 15 dB below your voice.
Oh, yeah.
People were sending me in. I couldn't hear what they were saying. I had no idea what they were saying. All I could hear was Ozzy Osbourne or, you know, Slim Whitman or whoever they were playing in the background. And it became the foreground.
Yep.
And I was just like, you know, keep the background music where it belongs, in the background.
So there were a couple of promos just today. I was putting some shows for next week together. And there were a couple of promos where they were heavily produced. I mean, they were recorded really well, and they had great sound and great effects. But there were so many effects, I couldn't understand what they were saying. So it became sort of pointless. Why should I put this promo on? No one will understand what you're saying, you know.
Yeah. My favorite, though, is the best is the ones where they do these great promos and they forgot to tell people where to find the podcast.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's classic. One of the reasons I say, you know, before you press send, listen to your podcast. This is my normal routine. I write a podcast. I then spend several hours finding all the little tidbits that I'm going to stick in there and how I'm going to break up the story and so on and so forth. Then I construct the whole thing. Then I listen to it a good 4 or 5 times completely. If after the fifth time I still like it, then I figure I've done it right. I don't like to be mean. I actually do have these criticisms because I deal with them so often now, and I really wish people would think more about those things. But, you know, I don't like to trash anybody because everybody's trying hard, and I've certainly tried hard in my life and failed.
My early podcasts? Oh, my God, the sound quality of the interviews was horrible.
My advice to all podcasters is listen to your show before you publish it.
Oh, thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that.
So many people don't. Mm-hmm. And then 2 days later, they're getting emails. There was this whole 10-minute section there where there was just no sound. What was that all about?
Here's the best advice I tell the people. As your show is uploading to your server, play it.
Yeah.
As it's uploading, play it, because it's going to take a while for it to upload. And as it's playing, do your show notes.
Yeah.
That's when you do your show notes. When it's finished and it's uploading, do your show notes, and you can listen to it. And then if there's anything that's happening, you're going to know. But definitely listen to your show in its entirety. Now, some people do two-hour shows where they record, hit stop, and then post. And I know they don't go back and listen to their two-hour shows, but I wish they would.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because especially when you're doing a show that's sort of live, the image of the show you have in your mind is very subjective. It may not necessarily be what you have now put into bits.
I want to go back to one of your shows, and you made a comment. You were harsh on yourself, and it was about your friend Charlie and the secret he had.
Oh. Okay.
And you felt bad about that he wasn't willing to come to you. I think you should be applauded for when he did come to you, the way you reacted, and the fact that he's still your friend today. I was moved by that. I thought that was great. So I thought you were harsh on yourself.
Well, here's the thing. Here's why I was harsh on myself. I think that at any time I would have reacted that way. And my feeling was that if Charlie was reluctant, then I was sending out something that said, no, that would be a big risk.
Well, it could have been that he valued your friendship so much he didn't want to risk anything that might end.
Oh, I understand that. And I also understand that I have no clue of what it's really like to be gay and be in a society that frowns on that. You know, I have no clue to what that feels like and how that would affect my judgment. So, you know, maybe I'm being a little unfair on myself. But on the other hand, that I can't help feeling that way, that he could have come to me from the very first moment and I would have been fine with it. And yet there was something about me that made that seem threatening.
But when he did come to you, ultimately how you reacted was really what I thought was the shining star of that story. So kudos to you.
Well, thank you. I mean, and I wasn't looking for kudos. It was more, I actually don't know why I told that story now that I'm thinking about it. Just that it was somehow a turning point in my life. I think it began a whole new way of more adult thinking, more thinking about other people than just myself, which is what youth is made of.
Oh, I tell you, I have really, really enjoyed your podcast. Listening to them, they were moving. Again, the way you position the music, so many flashbacks. So, people, if you didn't like your childhood, if you have no good memories of your childhood, stay away. But if you have at least one good memory, tune in to this podcast and you will get that memory brought up.
Well, see, if you don't have any good memories, maybe you need some.
Yeah. Just forget yours. Just take P-Dubs. He's got some great ones. Tell our listeners where to locate your podcast.
It's quite easy. Digitalflotsam.org. Digitalflotsam.org.
Now, where does the name come from?
Well, it came from my original concept of the podcast, which has changed. And that's something I'd like to mention. I really think that is one of the unique things about podcasts that commercial radio or television or commercial media of any kind somehow can't afford to do, and that's evolve. I started out with this idea, and it's quite evident if you listen to the earlier show, an idea for something that would be like a variety show in the tradition of the old Ed Sullivan Show, where you could have a scene from a Broadway show followed by some performing poodles, and then a comedian would come out, and then there would be the guy who would balance the spinning plates on the end of a stick and all of that kind of stuff, where you would just have this mishmash of really fun elements. And that's how the first few shows started out. Then I began to include as one of those elements some stories that I told or some stories that a good buddy of mine had told. Slowly, the feedback I started to get, including from my wife, was that that was the cool thing. The stories were the cool thing. And so then I began to center around the stories a little bit more. The shows began to have a theme. And for a while, I kind of resisted that. I almost felt like there was too much pressure to come up with a theme.
Well, it's a lot of pressure.
But there was just such success that I was sort of trapped by my own success.
On the technical side, you mentioned in one that you were using Adobe Audition. Are you still using Adobe Audition to put your podcast together?
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny, since becoming involved with Adam, I've become a Mac user.
Well, good for you.
And I much, much prefer the Mac over any Windows machine. And the only reason why I still own a Windows machine is because of Adobe Audition. Now, there's a commercial that I'm not going to get paid for.
A lot of people, you know, a lot of people I talk with, or quite a few on the PC side, seem to really like Adobe Audition. So,
oh, it's just so easy, especially if you have a background in audio. There are so many audio software packages that are written by programmers. They come up with the most bizarre way of organizing things, I guess based on their view of it as a program. And it doesn't relate to real life in the terms of somebody who's been dealing with audio tape and tracks and knobs and things like that. Whereas Audition seems to have been written by obviously skilled programmers, but people who understood recording before they started. There's another element, though, that I have to acknowledge. Most people think whatever they learned on is the best. And it just that's just the way it happens. You learn on Pro Tools, then every other similar software doesn't make a lot of sense to you because Pro Tools is what you know. You know?
I'm looking down my questions here, what's left, and I don't have to ask what advice you'd like to offer because you've already given that.
Oh, good.
Because I usually end that, and it's pretty clear. Listen to your show.
Yes.
I guess I would leave it at this. Is there anything else about your show that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, one thing. I would actually like to get contributions from other people. You know, people now understand what my show is all about. Everybody has stories like these. Well, tell one and record it. You know, leave it to me to do the editing and the cleaning up and the chopping up and the putting in the music and whatnot. But I would love to have contributors to Digital Flotsam.
Where should they send those contributions to?
Oh, if they actually have files that are ready, they can either send me a link to the file on their own server, or if they don't have their own server, go ahead and upload it to audiostuff@gmail.com.
P-Dub, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for asking me.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with P.W. Fenton from the Digital Flotsam podcast. I highly recommend you check out his podcast at digitalflotsam.org, and Flotsam is spelled F-L-O-T-S-A-M. And I have to bust P-Dub on this. When we did the interview, he spelled out Flotsam, however, he spelled it out incorrectly. He was worried he had forgotten the .org, and no, he did say .org, but he had spelled Flotsam incorrectly. Again, that is spelled F-L-O-T-S-A-M. Check it out, digitalflotsam.org. Coming up on our next show, we will have a very special guests, Carrie and Les from The Signal, so all you Firefly fans, please come back for that, and for you sci-fi fans that aren't familiar with Firefly, you definitely want to tune in for this podcast. At the end of today's podcast, we're going to play a promo for the RaiderCast, which is a podcast devoted to the Oakland Raiders. Well, that's going to do it for us today. As always, I'm your host, Rob, from Podcast 411, reminding you to listen different.
That's right, Raider Nation. Now you have a podcast. The Silver and Black will have a great year, and the RaiderCast will be there every step of the way. So visit www.theraidercast.com. Are you fan enough?